6 years, Genesis Church. 6 years as a church. I was telling the music team, they were praying in the green room ahead of service, and I was telling the music team ahead of time what it was like for me on our first Sunday. It was August 2nd, 2015, our first Sunday in this room. And if you were with us before, we owned this building. We met in a strip mall. We affectionately referred to it as the 808 because that was the address, 808 East Francis. So we talk a lot about, don't forget the 808. Remember where God has brought us from. Remember where he's taking us. But I remember my first Sunday, a friend of mine was in town. He and his wife, they were doing some staff development stuff with us. And I was standing on this side of the stage. And just a couple months before that, I had had the opportunity to preach at the Bing. And so if you're on the side of the stage, it kind of looks a lot the same. And I remember he said some words before I came out to preach. And then I was walking out from the side, and it was about right here. I was in full-on guest speaker mode. And it was about right here that I realized, this is our church. And I'm like, I continue to walk out, and I go to grab the microphone, and it's everything I can do to just hold it together. Because if you were there at the 808, you remember what 808 was. 808 was seeds of God's faithfulness. 808 was God planting and establishing us. How many of you guys have been here? How many of you guys in this room, if any, I know that there is some, are also celebrating 6 years with us as a church? Like, you've been here from day one. Man. It's not a lot of hands. Because we were not many when we started. Church, God is so good. He's so faithful. You hear those kids up there? Last Sunday we had our highest non-holiday kids ever, like, attendance, and there were like 54 kids up there, which to you might be like, big deal, bro, 54 kids. Man, I remember when 50 people showed up at the church, we had a party. God is so good, and he's so faithful. I want to start a series as we celebrate here. We're going to be in the month of September as we lead up to two services in a series called Planted. I tried my very best, and we put all of our creative brains together to try and find a more creative title than Planted, but I couldn't. And I don't even care. Today we celebrate 6 years. Every person that's come through these doors represents a story, represents someone who is called by God, destined by God, has a purpose in God. Today we celebrate Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles, scriptures will be up above my head on the Skyble. I'm going to read from the NLT translation for this. It says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan, in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone, carry it on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 6, he says this, we will use these stones to build a memorial. And in the future, your children, they'll ask you. They're on a field trip, school, whatever. They'll pass by the rocks and they'll ask you, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them, they remind us. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. And these stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. In this story, he was calling the Israelites led by Joshua to head into the promised land. He told them to do something crazy. He said, when you get to the Jordan River, just walk into it. And as soon as the priest's ankles touch the water, the Jordan River is going to stop. And church, God is so faithful that when it looked crazy, they walked into a river. They get there and the river is flooding. It's not a babbling brook like the Spokane River that runs by my house and my dog can walk out 15 feet into the water. We're talking they get there and it's flood stage. And the people believe in God. They trust him. They believe that he is who he says he is and he's going to do what he said he would do. So they straight up walk into a flooding river and the river stops 18 miles upstream. 18 miles upstream. Church, God is faithful. Because of the obedience of 12 people, an entire nation was able to walk across on dry ground. So they get to the other side and God tells Joshua, we can't forget this moment. You need to tell your boys. You need to grab some stones. Walk into that water where you came from. Walk into the place where I worked. Walk into the place where my spirit was there, ready, willing, and able to perform a miracle for you. Walk in there, grab some stones, set them up so when your babies ask you, you can go, our God is faithful. That's what that means. That's what that means, son, that our God is faithful. Church, might I submit to you that you are the stones. We are living stones, a memorial unto what God is doing. Those of you, there couldn't have been more than 12 with their hands up in this room who were there at the beginning at 808. You're the memorial stones to God's faithfulness. We tell you story after story after story of why we shouldn't be around as a church. But church, God is faithful. You don't do anything great without adversity. God is faithful. Scripture says, so the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them to the place where they camped for the night. They constructed a memorial there. As we build a memorial, we're constantly remembering what God has done. I need to caution you, church, that our memorials cannot become our town squares. The memorials that we build cannot become the thing around which we camp. The memorials that we build, it's not the place that we gather. We build, we reflect, we celebrate, and we march on. I said we build, we reflect, we celebrate, and we march on. We have to put the victories in the rearview mirror. Fight on. The world doesn't need churches that remember who God is and camp around the memorial like Peter wanted to do on the Mountain of Transfiguration. The world needs churches who remember God, who build memorials, but they put the miracles in the rearview mirror. Sure, I can see them, but that's what God did. And he's doing something now, and he will continue to do things in the future. Maybe you're sitting in this room and you have some brilliant memorials in your life. God has done some amazing things. You're kind of coasting. The memorials become town square for you. Can I push you a little bit? Can I give you a little prophetic pastoral nudge? And tell you to put the miracles in the rearview mirror and march on. We remember. We can see them. But we march on. Today we celebrate 6 years of being a house of hello. I remember one time a brilliant pastor who I look up to from a distance. And he was talking about his family. And he said to his oldest son each day when he walks out the door, he says, son, what's your name? And he goes, Smith. And he said, what do you do? And he goes, I look for lonely people. And it just pierced me to the core. It's Pastor Judah. Pierced me to the core. And I thought, you know what? That's the church we're going to be. Our first core value at Genesis, we celebrate 6 years of being a house of hello. And we look for lonely people and remind them that they don't have to do life alone. We look for lonely people and remind them that life is a team sport. You might feel like you're the only one going through your situation. You might feel like you're the only one who's ever experienced this. You might feel like the only person on the planet who can relate to what you're going through, but guess what? You're not. By the Spirit of God, you don't have to do life alone. We will serve you, eyes up, shoulders down, and throw our weight underneath you and lift you up. 6 years of Hello. We celebrate 6 years of being a house of honor. We honor up, we honor down, we all honor all around. Romans tells us that we are to outdo one another in showing honor. Genesis Church, you are an honoring house. You are an honoring house. Sometimes you got to work hard to honor people, don't you? Sure, we were all created in the image of God, but not everything about us reflects that image, right? Come on, we can tell the truth. Sure, we are created in the image of God. In fact, our series in October that we're starting is called Live Dead. I'm excited. Sure, we were all created in the image of God. Not everything reflects that image. So at our church, we have for 6 years been endeavoring to find the things in each person that reflect the life and nature of who God is and to honor that, to treat it as uncommon. If there's any place in the world that people should be honored, it should be the house of the living God. It should be in a group full of people who proclaim that we celebrate and we worship the way, the truth, and the life. A group full of people that say we will leverage our lives at the foot of the cross so that everyone will know who Jesus is. That's a place where people should feel honored. Amen? We celebrate 6 years of being a house of help. I think our social media team did a wonderful job of putting together a campaign of helping people understand who we are about and what we've been doing for the last 6 years. We're a house of help. And in the face of overwhelming need in our city, oftentimes when the need is overwhelming, we're paralyzed into inaction. Because it seems like, what could I possibly do? What does my contribution matter? Maybe you think this when it comes offering time on Sunday. What's my $7.12 gonna matter? Well, when you got $7.12 from 300 people, it starts to matter. In the face of overwhelming need, don't be paralyzed into inaction. We do for one what we wish we could do for everybody. You may not be able to buy groceries for every family, every hungry family in the city, but you might be able to buy groceries for one family, and guess what? It matters to them. I refuse to let the enemy paralyze us into inaction because of overwhelming need. Because if that's all it takes, he's just going to make the need greater and greater and greater. But we got to take the fight to him. And for 6 years, Genesis, you've been a house of help, a house of healing, a fourth core value. There's a story in the New Testament where four friends bring their paralyzed buddy to Jesus. Jesus is preaching. The house is so full that they can't get in, so they climb up on the roof, they cut a hole in the roof, and they lower him down while Jesus is teaching. Just a paralyzed guy is getting lowered down by like his four bros. They're like, hey man, sorry, lowering him down in the middle of the room. The paralyzed man had no way to get to Jesus on his own. In fact, he may not even have known that coming to Jesus meant he could be healed. So my question to you that has been and will continue to be from this day forward, church, is who are you willing to carry? Because your invite to a Sunday gathering, your invite to a small group, your invite to an outreach event is not just an invite to church. You very well may be inviting that person to the miracle they didn't even know they could have. Somebody has been praying for that paralyzed person on the mat, the proverbial paralyzed guy. Somebody has been praying for them. And your invitation, you very well may be inviting them to the miracle that they didn't know was theirs. Our fifth core value, 6 years of heritage. It's what we heard up there. That's our babies praising God. They're not just up there being babysat and watching videos. Dorinda and Char and our entire team up there work so hard to make sure that your babies, they're preaching the gospel to them and they are infusing them with scripture. And here's why, because this platform, House of Heritage, we say this, we stand on a platform built by others. This platform was literally built by somebody else. 2005, this building was built. By the grace of God, it was held by a wonderful woman for us. We believe this. We've had conversations about it. The time would come when we would be ready. And God would allow us to step into this place. We stand on a platform built by others, building a platform for those who will come after us. Church, this is who we are. Today we celebrate 6 years. In Numbers chapter 24, I was reading this the other day, and it just came alive in me. And as I prayed through it, just continued to pray, I couldn't, you know, sometimes you're reading scripture, you're like you're in your reading plan or whatever, and then you just can't stop thinking about it all day long. Can I tell you, that's just the Spirit of God reminding you to meditate on that thing? In case you were wondering, man, God never talks to me. Well, there he was. Numbers chapter 24 says this, by now Balaam realized the Lord was determined to bless Israel. I love that. The Lord was determined to bless Israel. Don't you love a God who just makes it up in his mind that regardless of what is going on, he's just going to bless you? Read before in Numbers about what was going on. You know why that matters. We don't have time. But by now, Balaam realized the Lord was determined to bless Israel. So he didn't resort to divination as before. He didn't resort to the things that he had leaned into before. He didn't resort to his own ability. Instead, he turned and looked out toward the wilderness where he saw the people of Israel camped tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And this is the message he delivered. In church, I have to imagine you looking out, standing up above the proverbial city, looking out across all the people who love Jesus, the people who aren't quite sure how they feel about him, the people who might actually hate him. Looking out across these people who Jesus died for, who God cared about so much that he literally put on flesh and came and lived a perfect life and died for us so that we could come into all of the blessings of covenant with him. Those people that God loves. Scripture tells us that he's the friend of sinners. That's a wonderful scripture for you. For me, God is a friend of sinners. You know what it also means? Like the people that you really don't like because they've sinned against you, they're also God's friend. Like, stop hating God's friends. Anyway. This is the message he delivered when the Spirit of God came upon him. This is the message of Balaam, son of Beor, the message of the man whose eyes see clearly, the message of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who bows down with eyes wide open. Is this not eyes up, shoulders down? The one who bows down with eyes wide open. How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob. How lovely are your homes, O Israel. They spread before me like palm groves, like gardens by the riverside. They are like tall trees planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the water. I wonder when you look out across the city, I wonder when you look out across the people that annoy you and irritate you at work, I wonder when you look out, when you have the opportunity to see things on the news and you look at people who might be on the other side. I wonder when you look out, what do you see? Because the church that I see is full of people who see this. Who they see beauty in the mess. The enemy of our souls wants nothing more than to destroy what God is trying to build. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. What makes you think he's going to try and make it easy for us to reach the lost? You know why it's hard for you sometimes to make that invitation. You want to know why it's hard for you to make the decision to humble yourself and take the high road? You want to know why it's hard? Because it's warfare. It's not going to be easy. I wonder what you see when you look out. Water will flow from their buckets in the desert. What do you got buckets for in the desert? There's no water. Water will flow out of your buckets. God will cause provision, and he will put provision where provision doesn't belong. Water doesn't belong in the desert. Water will flow from their buckets. Their offspring have all they need. Their king will be greater than Agag, who was a great king. In case you're wondering who Agag was. Terrible name, great king. I should say powerful king, maybe not great. Their kingdom will be exalted. God brought them out of Egypt. For them, God is as strong as a wild ox. All the rodeo fans in the house. My wife went to Cheney High School. What's up? Rodeo? He is as strong as a wild ox. He devours all the nations that oppose him. This is not physical nations, as it were, anymore. Political map that we drew lines on. These are the things that set themselves up in opposition to the Spirit of God. He devours the things that oppose him. He breaks their bones in pieces, shooting them with arrows. Like a lion, Israel crouches and lies down. And like a lioness, who dares bother her? Blessed is everyone who blesses you, O Israel, and cursed is everyone who curses you. Like a lion. I'm trying to preach faith into your heart this morning, Genesis Church. This might be your first time here. Guess what? By the Spirit of God, you are a lion. Thank you, Jesus. Love this picture that he draws for us in verse 6. And he says, they're like tall trees planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. In this series, Planted, I endeavored to write a series, and we got together. We're on about a three-month rotation on our series, and so we're planning this out and talking through it. And I endeavored to teach to you a series about what it looks like to plant yourself in the house of God. Because I wanted to be a good pastor. I wanted to help you understand how to plant yourself. Don't you think it would like be a beneficial thing to be planted in the house of God? Some of you are like, I don't even know why I come sometimes. Here you go talking about being planted. It's all I can do to get myself out the door. Kids are acting a fool. There's laundry piled 18 stacks high that I could spend this 2 hours round trip that it takes to do this. Every time I come in here, I get challenged or somebody says hi to me. All these terrible things. People ask me if I want to serve. Oh, leave me alone. Sometimes I don't even know why I come. But guess what? You keep coming week after week after week after week after week. Might I submit this to you that when I started to study this to teach you how to plant yourself in the house of God, what I found in Scripture is that most often, I would say close to 90% of the time, when Scripture is talking about being planted, it's not you planting yourself, it's God who's planting you. So my prep shifted from, okay, if it's not me who's planting myself in the house, if God is in fact the one who's planting, it then becomes my job not to uproot myself. Because if it's God who's planting me, and you might be like, I don't even know why I come. I come week after week after week. I don't like the music. Like, I can barely tolerate how you talk. But I just keep coming week after week after week. May I submit to you that God is planting you? May I just push you a little bit? And say, maybe it's because God is planting you here Maybe each time you come, maybe you come sporadically, once every 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, and you pop in. And every time you walk into the room with this group of people who are worshiping God, you're like, gosh, I love that place. Why don't I come here more? Why don't I submit to you that maybe God is planting you? Scripture tells us this, we're working hard, we're building, we're laboring. In Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Proverbs 24:3, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Psalm 92 says this, the righteous flourish like the palm tree, and they grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the course of our God. They still, listen to this, they still bear fruit in old age. The righteous are planted in the house. They flourish. They're planted in the house of the Lord, and they still bear fruit in old age. Listen, you come to this church, and you might see what we have up on stage, and you're like, there's not a person older than 20 on the team at this church. But let me tell you, I am thankful that God is building a multi-generational house. One of the things that people often say when they come here is like, man, there were a lot of old people there. I wasn't expecting that. Everything I see on social media and all this, everybody looks 14. That was amazing. Can I tell you this, church, that the righteous, they're planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish. And Scripture tells us that they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. That he is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. I'm leaning into that scripture for myself. I pray that even into my old age, that God continues to use me, that I continue to bear fruit even in old age. You're sitting here in this room. You may put yourself in that category. I'm not going to put you in there. I've learned not to do that. You may think that the best years of what you had to contribute to the kingdom are gone and done. You may look around here and you may have had the thoughts and start to looking down the other side of that hill because you're over it. Looking down going, man, is everything that God was going to do, the greatest years behind me? Let me tell you, Genesis, that you're planted. It's God who does the planting. When you're planted, you flourish. Even into your old age, you continue to produce fruit. You're ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. I see a church full of people who, since God is the one who is doing the planting, this almost raises the stakes for me a little bit. Because if I was the one who planted myself, then I could just choose to uproot and go somewhere else. But if it's God who's planting me, and if it's God who is in fact the one doing the planting, then who am I to uproot myself from the place that God has planted me? Believe this, it's God plants us. We drive our roots deep into the soil. And we watch God multiply the fruit. My brother-in-law grew up in Tenasket, and their family has orchards on all their property. And there's, I mean, just as far as you can see, a friend of mine in town, they have 10 acres of their land, and they have like 5 acres worth of it is just trees, as far as you can see. And I imagine our church much like this, a church full of people who understand that since God is the one who has planted us here, since God is the one who is in fact doing the planting, that we do everything that we can to drive our roots deep into the soil. A grove There's something majestic about seeing, as far as the eye can see, strong trees, tall trees, trees with scars on them, trees with age, trees that have been weathered. Let me tell you this, you don't stay planted in the same church for 30 years because everything always goes your way. You stay planted in the same church for 30 years because God planted you and you're being faithful to honor what he has asked you to do. So I'm going to tell you this. If you're with us over the course of the next 30 years, I promise I'm going to give you a reason to leave. I'm going to say something to you that makes you mad. Someone at this church is going to forget to return your phone call. They are going to, in a moment of passion, say something that they probably wish they hadn't said. But you know what? Strong trees can't be shaken, can't be uprooted. Strong. It's the dead, weak ones. They get uprooted. I'm praying over the next 3 weeks, I want to talk about what it looks like for us to drive our roots deep into the soil, to get deep nourishment. Scripture tells us that deep calls unto the deep. The Spirit of God is calling to the deep places in you. The church that I see is a church that is nourishing for people who are brand new to the things of God and nourishing for people who have been walking with God for 85 years. Because this is a church where, since God has planted us, we are driving our roots deep into the soil. I'm going to close with this thought from Genesis 1:11, and this is going to be the jump-off point for the rest of the 3 weeks for us. You guys ready to go on this ride for the next 3 weeks? We got September 11th, next Sunday, September 18th, September 25th, three Sundays, and then October 2nd, we're adding a second service. So this series is leading us up to making space for the people who matter most to you. They said we'd get you times. We're doing 9:30 and 11:15. 9:30 a.m. for those of you early risers and 11:15 for those of you who wish church started at 11:15. Now it does, starting October 2nd. The Genesis 1:11 says this. This is the account of creation. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. Thanks, Bible. Duh. Have you seen a tree before? That's what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts. Heaven is full of every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Seeds, they went into the ground. They produce all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. And their seeds produce plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Here's my thought for the next 3 weeks that we'll be jumping off from in various forms. Lying within the fruit of this season are the seeds for next season. Lying within the fruit that you're currently experiencing in your life, lying within the fruit that we're experiencing as a church, are the seeds for the next season. And wisdom knows which part of the harvest is to eat and which part is to sow. Church, I want to encourage you. God is planting and establishing you. I love what he said. When Balaam had decided that God, when he realized God was determined to bless Israel, when he realized that he didn't have a choice, God was going to do it, he just jumped in the stream of what God was trying to do. And I pray through these next 3 weeks that we can unpack scripture together to see that if in fact God is planting you, what are the things we do to make sure we're not uprooting ourselves and aborting what God is trying to do in us? God plants, we drive deep roots, and God multiplies the fruit. Amen, Genesis? 6 years and we're just getting started, baby. Can we stand together?